Praise the Lord, folks. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're ready. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wow. Amen. Welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord. Good to have you on this nice, cool day. Glad we're having some nice, cool weather. I'm glad I'm inside where it's nice and warm. I'm glad I don't have to be outside in the cold. Nice and warm. I don't know, though. Cheryl likes cold weather so well. I guess I ought to have to take her up to Minneapolis.
Oh, no.
Oh, goodness.
He's teasing y'all. He's teasing y'all. I hate to be cold. I hate it.
That's for sure.
Yes, it is for sure. I mean, sure. I had the heater up on like 85 last night when I went to bed. I mean, I turned it down during the night, but when I first went to bed, I want to be warm. Anyway, okay, we have a couple of praise reports. This is regarding my lost son. Good morning. A good friend of mine has talked to me about you and your ministry, and I've listened to your messages. They've truly helped me. I even downloaded How to Get a Lost Person Saved. I'm writing you today because my son has left and walked away from God. It's been 3 years, going on 4 years. My heart cries out asking God, why? My son. My son brought us into church when he was in the seventh grade. He would go to youth on Wednesday and be ready early Sunday to go to church. We were at that time Catholic. He would come home talking and singing about God. We decided to finally go. It was March of 2010. Today we serve God till this day. In May of 2015, the year my son Samuel graduated from high school, I saw his whole life change before my own eyes. He played on the worship at church since he was 15. Pastor Jonathan was his friend, mentor, big brother, and Jonathan protected my son because he knew Samuel has a calling and he knew Sam was anointed. That month of May 2015, weeks before Sam's graduation, we got some bad news. Pastor Jonathan had an affair with someone in the church. He was talked about for months, still till today. Sam was broken and torn. He didn't want to believe it. We were told as a church not to talk to Pastor Jonathan and were told to stay away. August of 2015, Samuel resigned the worship team due to the talk about Jonathan. He told me that he was done. And if that is who the church is, who the church is teaching us to be like, he's better off in the world where people who don't know Christ love you and not judge you. He told me, Mom, all of them who speak hate about Pastor Jonathan, knowing at one time that all they said they loved him. That's the day everything changed. I don't have the answer, but I want my Samuel back. He's doing drugs and drinking. I haven't seen him in 3 weeks, going on four. This is the longest that he's stayed away, but there's one thing. I'm still praying. The only thing I ask is for you to stand in agreement and intercede for Samuel. Thank you and God bless. Okay, now this is someone that does not know us, all right? So we said, we have prayed and it is done. Your son Samuel is set free. He will come back home in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman. She writes back, let's see, how many days? From February 2nd to February the 7th. Thank you so much, Thurman, for praying for my son. Monday late night, I got a text from my son asking if he could come home. God is good. Thank God. I'm still praying the warrior prayer that I downloaded from your online page. I know he will come back to God and praying that he finds God and that he will find his place in God. So for Samuel, God bless you, Samuel.
Yes.
Praise
That's
the
a praise the Lord.
Wow, that is praise a praise the Lord.
Okay, well, you know, people are sick right now with the flu and different things. All right, well, we got this on February the 8th. It's Betty. She said, Dear Thurman and Cheryl, and the title was Nose is Blocked and Allergies Flared Up. Okay, I do appreciate you both so very much. All of a sudden, my allergies have flared up over the past 24 hours. I've confessed any sin I've made, saying or thinking negatively toward a person. I've worshiped God. I continue to worship God. Could you kindly agree with me and pray the prayer of faith so that my nose will no longer be congested and I will be able to breathe freely again? I listen to your teachings every night. They've been so instructive and encouraging. I went to your healing school in December. May Lord God bless both of you in many ways. Thank you for praying for me. Amen and amen. I worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sincerely, Betty. Okay. Then on February 8th, she wrote back, in Jesus' name, I demand for the devil to leave me, standing on John 14, 13, 14, blessings, Betty. All right, then we wrote her on the 9th at 1 o'clock in the morning. Allergies have to do with not loving self. God commands you to love yourself. It is a sin if you do not love yourself. Repent and promise God that you will love yourself starting today. You are a daughter of the King of the universe. You are a princess. You are royalty. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you love yourself. Start taking communion daily or several times a day if necessary. We have rebuked the enemy and commanded that the beast to leave you and never come back. We have prayed, and it is done. Here's a link to listen to. Praise the Lord, Pastor Thurman and Cheryl, and I sent her the link of Love Yourself, God Commands It. She wrote back on the 9th. That was 12:48 in the morning I wrote. At 5:42 in the morning, she wrote back. Dear Thurman and Cheryl, so that's only 3 hours. Thank you for your teaching and prayers. I woke up this a.m. and my sinuses were draining. An hour later, the drainage has stopped. I am praising God. My faith has increased. I am so very thankful that you commanded the beast to leave me. I have repented for not loving myself. God made me, and I love the way he has made me. I promise God that I will love myself starting today. I have just taken communion and will several times a day. I'm listening to the link you recommended. I will listen to it again after work. You, Cheryl, your ministry, and church are such a blessing to people like myself all over the world and in Fort Mill, South Carolina also. God bless all of you. Blessings, Betty. And then she wrote the next day on the 10th, Dear Thurman and Cheryl, greetings from South Carolina. Just to let you know that for the last 2 days, I've been noticeably getting better. I have worked all day, about 10 hours per day. I work because I am healed and well, people go to work. She's been listening to you. I've been taking communion and standing on John 14, 13, and 14. Thank you for your prayer and for your love for Lord God. Blessings to you, your family, and your loving church, Betty. Fort Mill, South Carolina.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, and I, praise God. And then I have one more thing to tell you. Several years ago, the Lord showed me and some other people that his glory cloud is going to hit this church, okay? Well, this past week, I was talking to our prophetic pastor friend, Pastor Keith. And Pastor Keith, while he's talking to me, because we were setting up a date to go to Des Moines in June, he says to me, all of a sudden, he says, there's a huge angel in your church. And I said, really? I said, where is it? He says, it's standing by the sign. He said, I said, well, how big is it? And he said, it's 12 feet tall. 12 feet, that's to the top of the sign, I guess. He said he has an 8-foot sword, and he said that what he's going to do when people come in here for prayer, he's going to swing that sword, and they're instantly going to get healed. And he said, and also, there's two other angels attached to him that are coming there also. And he said that when people get out of their cars in the parking lot, when they step on the ground, just getting out of the car, they're going to get instantly healed. He said, glory to God. He said, and there, of course, there, he always sees angels in the church, but he said, these are special angels that are up here. So praise the Lord God.
Praise
Thank you, Jesus. We're excited about this.
Yes, Lord, that's for sure. Well, it is exciting to serve Jesus, is it not? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I'm glad we do what we do. I couldn't think of doing anything else. I love serving Jesus. In fact, all that just reconfirms what Dave said. You know, why does it not work for us sometimes? Why does it work for us sometimes? I'm telling you, it doesn't work lots of times because we don't believe it. I mean, that's the biggest. I mean, Jesus himself over there in Matthew 17, if you remember. In fact, we might go to Matthew 17 and read that the first few verses there and see what the Lord told us to do and just get a picture. Because let's stop and think about this. Anytime if you're going to church and everything, I mean, if you're going to church, and even Mike and I talked about this a while ago, you're going to church, you know, you're tithing, you're reading the word, you're doing all kinds of things, and then all of a sudden the enemy sneaks up on you. And you wouldn't think this beast would do this, but he will sneak up on you. Just like he sneaked up on friends that time. I remember how it's so amazing. Most of you heard this story, but some of you were here yesterday and you haven't heard Franz's story. But one time on a Saturday afternoon, Cheryl and I had been out to eat with a couple, and we got back to the airport. And just as we got back to the airport, the phone rang, and it was Franz. And he says, "Thurman," he said, "I was just getting ready to go to the doctor." Now, this is the way we all think. He said, "But I got to thinking. I sat in your services Sunday after Sunday listening to you talk about God's power and how it works." And he said, "I thought, you know, Lord, how many times have I had Thurman say, give Jesus first shot. Don't give him last. You know, don't go to the doctors and try to get the doctors to do something for you." He said, "I opened my mouth this morning and said, I got this terrible tumor and it's growing in my mouth and it looks awful." And that's what you said, right, friends?
That's right.
"And it looked awful." So he said, "My first thought was, I need to get my house in order. I may be fixing to die." I mean, you know, he's 87 or 88 years old, something like that. So he thinks he might not be around much longer. He don't know. But the first thought out and first statement out of his mouth was, "I need to go to the doctor." Then the Holy Spirit, because he'd had this faith put in him so much, so many times, the Holy Spirit started punching him in the gut, saying, "Friends, why don't you ask me to heal you?" You know, if you don't have the word in you, that Holy Spirit can't do no work. And that's what's wrong with people. You know, they're not in church, they're not reading the word, they're not studying the word, and so the Holy Spirit's not there to do anything. Even though you may have a 12-foot angel sitting there saying, "I'm fixing to cut that stuff off of you and I'm going to heal you right now." And if it's not there, it don't happen. So anyway, as he meditated on that, thought, "You know, Lord, I do need to give you." Thurman always tells us, if something happens, at least call on Jesus first. Is that what I teach? Don't go to the doctor. I mean, go to Jesus. Call on him and see, at least try and see if your faith works today. You know, it might be a day that you're on. You can't ever tell, instead of one of those days that you're off. Because it's obvious when we listen to Dave tell what he said a while ago about this. We know we have days when we're on and days when we're off. Is that right? Sometimes we pray, and just like this young man told us an awesome story about a testimony himself. Sometimes it works, and it works so easy, doesn't it? And the next time you do something, it won't work at all. And so you think, wow. So anyway, friends, you know, I got so tickled when we had just pulled up there to the office in the airport. And the phone rang, and it was Franz. He said, "Thurman, I've got to ask you to pray for me." He said, "I got a tumor in my mouth," and said, "it looks awful." And in fact, he said, it made me think I need to get my house in order because I may not be around long. So he said, "But I thought about going to the doctor," but he said, "I thought, well, no. I hear Thurman all the time saying, let's call on the Lord. Let's give the Lord first shot." Now, as his children, should we always depend on him first?
Absolutely.
We should never even think about asking anybody else for help or anything until we have at least run it through the Lord. He is your provider. He's everything. He can take care of anything. So, friend said, I'm decided to go to Jesus first, so I just thought I'd call you, Thurman, and ask you to pray for me. And I said, "Okay, no problem." So I said, first thing, I said, "Have you confessed all your sin?" He said, "I have." I said, "Okay, Lord, I don't know. There may be one that he's forgot. So I don't know what it is. So, Lord, I remit his sins." Now, you know, that's another thing that we stumble on when we think about us forgiving somebody else's sins. But the scripture says you can do that. And so I forgave his sins. And then I said, okay, now, friends, I'm going to remit the sins of everybody in this car. There were four of us in here. I said, Lord, I remit everybody's sins in this car. And then I said, Lord, I ask you to wash us all, including friends, in the blood. Now, the blood will clean you how clean? White as snow. I mean, it'll clean you up. I don't care how dirty there may be a sin is, it can clean you up. So now we've remitted everybody's sin, and now then we're calling on the Lord, and we're confessing our sin, and we're asking him to forgive us our sin. Now we're asking him to wash us in that blood and cleanse us whiter than snow. And then I said, after we've done all that, I said, now then, I'm going to take this wonderful promise of Matthew 18:19. And what does Matthew 18:19 say? That's Kim's favorite verse.
It is my favorite.
What does that say?
Can I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything?
Okay, and so if the two of us shall agree on earth as touching anything, and we've remitted sins, we've called on the name of the Lord, we've done all these things, and now then I got friends out there. He's one. And then me and Cheryl and this other couple, that's four more. That's five. So five of us washed in the blood, we're dangerous. Is that right?
We're dangerous
anyway. So we prayed. We asked the Lord to do something great. We asked the Lord to take away that tumor, and we asked him to heal him and everything. And now then the next thing the Lord says you got to do is what?
Thank him
and believe. You're absolutely right. Lord, thank you for healing friends in the name of Jesus. Lord, it is done. It cannot fail. We went through all the steps. We've remitted sins. We've washed in the blood. We've done everything. Now, Lord, I thank you and praise you for forgiving us. I thank you and praise you for healing friends. And it's a done deal. And I said, I said, is everybody in this car in agreement? Everybody said, yes, we agree. We're in agreement. Now, we've tried to cover every base. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yes.
How to cover every base. Now, these examples is good for all of us to know. Because, you know, you could leave out something. Let's say you forgot to remit sin. There might be a sin. Obviously, there was some kind of a sin. We don't know what it was. I don't. But anyway, when we stood on the Word and done everything we're supposed to do, then the last thing I've got to do is I have to believe with my heart and say with my mouth. So I said, friends, you are healed. Guarantee it. I'll see you at church tomorrow, Sunday afternoon. And I hung up the phone. Well, didn't hear from him no more. Sunday afternoon, that's Saturday evening, Sunday afternoon, I was sitting right back there on the back, just waiting for people to come in. And as I was sitting there, all of a sudden, friends comes to that door, and he walks across there, he runs across there, and puts his arm around my neck, and just pulls me in like a bull elephant, you know. I mean, he's strong as an ox. Pulls me in there and said, Pastor, you really know how to make Jesus come alive in a man's life. I said, what do you mean? He said, look at my mouth. And he opened his mouth, looked in there, and it's perfect. There's no tumor, no redness, no nothing. He's completely healed. Now, who showed up and did that for us, friends?
Jesus.
Now then, you see all the things we need to do. Now, everything you got to do, is just like, let's take that Matthew 17 that we're talking about there. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 17 and start with about verse 2 or 3 or 4, somewhere along there. The what, honey?
Matthew 17, you're doing that.
Yeah, let's go there first, and then we'll see where we wind up. Okay. Matthew 17, read about verse... Well, I'll just start with verse 1 and read down to about 10 or 12.
Okay. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise and be not afraid." And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, "Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." And his disciples asked him, saying, "Well, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you."
Okay, let's stop and meditate on what we just read. I mean, these men have seen the Lord firsthand with the Father speaking to their hearing of voice. Can you get any better than that? Can you imagine what would happen if all of a sudden I'm saying these kinds of things I'm saying, and all of a sudden the Master were to appear right here, or one of his angels appear right there and say, "Listen to Thurman, he's telling you the truth." What would you do?
Praise the Lord.
Do you know what some would do? Some would probably run outside. Is that right? I mean, but what did these boys do? What did they do? I mean, man, they were terrified. So you know, it wouldn't be nothing different, nothing new. You know, we're not set for these powerful things, but Jesus, when that man came and brought his little epileptic son, and said, "Lord, I know you heal these boys, but I need you to heal this boy." And these boys, they tried, but it didn't work. Now then, there's so many things that you need to be able to be aware of. Anytime you go to do something, I don't care what it is you go to do, the first thing you should do is say, "Lord, I remit all my sins. I want to get rid of every sin. I ask you to clean me up and I ask you to wash me in the blood." Just like I did with friends that night over there. I asked the Lord to do all those things. And so, when you notice, you pay attention what the Holy Spirit was doing. As the Holy Spirit was moving in my life after he called me, and I did everything that the Holy Spirit prompted me to do, including remitting his sins, asking him if he could confess his own sin. As we done all those things, the Lord clearly moved on my heart what I needed to do, and I tried my best as I'm praying and talking to the Lord and trying to get everything in order that I feel he's calling me to do, that friends needs to be healed, but there is a set plan, a way this has got to be done for it to work without fail. Just like this example here. He told them the same thing. He told them, you know, exactly what to do, how to do it. And they did it. And as they did what he said, then they saw the glory of God. But he told them after all this, still they can't get this boy healed. You know, so some people say, well, if I could just see Jesus, then I could have the faith to make this work. But, you know, that's not the case, is it? I mean, these boys, did they see Jesus? Did they see Moses and Elijah? Did they hear the voice of God? The audible voice of God. And still, when they go down the mountain and this man brings his little boy up here and says, I need you boys to, you know, heal my son. They tried whatever they tried to do, and it didn't work, did it? You notice the thing that Cheryl and I do a whole lot after we remit sins, wash people in the blood, stand before the throne of God, then when we finally kick the devil out and do everything, what's the last thing we do after we praise him for his answer?
It's done.
That's it. Do you think your words are important?
Absolutely.
But you know, you notice all over the last several weeks or months, as Cheryl has read these testimonies to you that we've seen, you've noticed how that when we pray for people and we remit their sins, and then we command those spirits to leave, and then we speak the word of God after being washed in the blood, and the final thing after saying, Lord, thank you for your word, now it's done, I guarantee you're delivered. And it happens. How many times do we hear these things happen? We hear it all the time, don't we? It happens. Just like Jesus said there with those boys. If you boys, you know, when they said, Lord, why could we not heal this boy? He said, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. In other words, who would have thought, is there ever a better time for them to be in a time of belief than they've seen the glory cloud, haven't they? They've seen the glory of God. They've heard the Father speak. That's something that's so rare in the Word of God. It's so rare that God speaks. When he spoke on the mountain way back over there years ago in the Old Testament, when he spoke on that mountain, what did they do? They trembled and they fell. It's kind of like the movie that, I forget what the name of it was, about the Yellow Brick Road or something.
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, yeah. You know, whenever that guy was behind the scene there, you know. Y'all remember that?
Uh-huh.
And everybody was in awe. They were all shaking and running and, oh, my goodness gracious. And then the curtain come down. And he's there begging stuff and doing all kinds of stuff. And all of a sudden they look at it. It's just a man. But, you know, you've got to study the Word. You've got to, like Dave said a while ago, you have got to learn who you are in Christ. You notice that little girl that had the runny nose, how Cheryl told her she's a princess, she's royalty, all these things. And as she began to praise the Lord and worship him and thank him, saying, I am a daughter of the King. I am washed in the blood. What happened to her, all of her problems?
They went away.
They went away. Why in the world do we as Christians, I can assure you, that the majority of us, when we come down with something, a headache, anything, we first thing we do is go to the medicine cabinet. Is that true? I don't even have a medicine cabinet in my house. I don't believe in them. I have the best doctor in the world in my house. His name's Jesus. So why should I need anything else? But I think we're going to have to learn to really be conscious. And I've decided that being in church for 1 or 2 hours on Sunday afternoon or Sunday is not enough to keep you in that place where that every time you pray, you get an answer to prayer. Not even close. You need to be involved with the Lord, I mean, regularly. And if you are, and of course the thing about it is, friends, he's a businessman. You know, and he's involved with business. And so it's very difficult for him to be connected to the Lord 24/7. But for me and Cheryl, we're in the ministry a whole lot more than he is. And that's why God made some of us pastors and teachers and everything, so that we're in the Word more than you are. So when you call us and we pray, God answers our prayer. Does he not? And when he answers your prayers, just like some of you, I know Scott and Kim, I know they're out there in the business world. I know Mike and Gracie, they're out there in the business world. But still, although they're in the business world, they're meditating on Jesus all the time. I mean, they're talking about him. I mean, I love to go to dinner with these couples, because when I do, they don't never talk about the football game or who won or, you know, who's doing this or that. We talk about Jesus. We don't talk about the world. We talk about Jesus. Now then, if you go out with somebody and all they talk about is the football game, who won the football game. And in fact, Cheryl read something to me about the football game. And when we came back that night after the Super Bowl, and that's what they told me it was, the Super Bowl. I don't know. I didn't go see nothing, but Cheryl read an article to me out of something that the average or the lowest price seat, the lowest price seat for the Super Bowl was $3,100. Can you imagine giving, and that's the cheapest one. And I can't imagine giving $3,000 for a seat to go watch some boys play football when I leave the stadium, go outside, it's 10 below zero. I just think, and I just stand in awe, you know, that people will do that. But people will do that. So you can definitely tell what those people are attached to. The world. Yeah, I guarantee the world. So if they're attached to the world, and now then, if one of them, if friends had called one of them and said, I got this problem with my throat and I got a tumor in there, I need you to pray, what kind of answer would he have got from those people?
Go to the doctor.
you talk like you know what you're talking about. Isn't that, but that's the way we are, right? And you can tell very easily where a man's living, you know, what he's doing, because just think what Jesus said there in that Matthew 17. I don't remember what verse it was after 10 or 12 or whatever it was, 15, where the Lord says, if you believed, if you really only believed, you could not only heal this child, but he said you could take this and you could speak to that mountain. Now, what was that verse?
17.
Okay. If you can speak to them, if you have this kind of faith, this is where the church needs to be. If we have this kind of faith, we can not only can we pray for friends and get him washed in the blood and get his sins taken care of, but pray a prayer of faith so that the next morning, whenever he comes to church, he does not have a mark in his mouth, and it never has come back. Either has his friend. That's been a year ago or so, whatever. A year ago. And I mean, he was so distraught that day that evening he called me. He just knew it was over. I mean, when he looked in his mouth, saw that tumor, you was really concerned, wasn't you, friends?
Well, they would have cut my tongue out if I'd have went to a doctor.
Ooh, that don't even sound funny, does it? But that's what you're right. That's what they would have done if you'd have let them. So. But he didn't let him. He prayed in Jesus. And the thing I love so wonderful about our Savior, he did it for friends right then, and he didn't even charge him to do it.
Amen.
He did it for free. Isn't he an awesome God, friends?
I love that teaching.
Just think, though, the Lord himself told us, and this ought to let us know that there's something wrong. If you have faith, not only can you heal this child, but you can look over there at that mountain, and you can say, mountain, be removed from right there and put into the sea. And he said, if you don't doubt in your heart, that mountain will obey you. Do you know that we have a problem with that, don't we? We have a problem. Why do we have a problem? I mean, whenever I started praying for people like these people that me and Cheryl pray for, I have no idea, but these emails that we're getting, they're coming in from all over the world. I mean, everywhere. It's just awesome where these things come from. And I think, how in the world does these people find us? So it's got to be somewhere. Somebody is praying, and of course, when they're saying, Lord, I need somebody to show me how to get healed, then he attaches them somehow to our ministry.
Absolutely.
Or he'll break their car right in front of Mike's shop. And the car will coast in down there, and he says, can I have you? And he said, well, I was praying here, and I don't know what happened here. I'm sick, and I got a problem. But all of a sudden, my car quit right here, and it's amazing, right in front of your shop. So now not only do you get to fix their car, you get to pray for them and get them healed. Isn't that wonderful? Because Jesus said there clearly, if you have faith and doubt not, not only can you heal that boy, not only can you heal that boy, but you can speak to the mountain. Is there something wrong with the church today? Why is it that I went to church all of my life and I looked at all these wonderful things that we do in the church, you know, like we have a feasting on Sunday night or whatever, you know, or we have this or we have that. Every once in a while somebody did get saved in the Baptist church, and that's great. That's great. I got saved in a Baptist church, but why do we not see any miracles? Why? There's something wrong with the church that where the master is the CEO of the universe and the CEO of the church, and yet we have been given all power and all authority, and we don't hardly ever see him do anything. If in the Baptist Church and the Church of Christ and the Methodist Church and all these normal denominations, they virtually never see a miracle in their church. You know that? In fact, I got tickled at a church here a while back. Dave's boy was visiting in that church. Somebody said something to him, the pastor, about something. And one of them asked John, says, why don't you go pray for him? He said, it wouldn't do any good. He don't believe. That's little John. He's just 10 or 12 years old. 12 years old. He's a 12-year-old boy. When you ask him, why don't you pray for the pastor? He said, it wouldn't do no good. He don't believe. He has no faith. But, you know, Dave and his family, they pray for each other all the time. And they see answers to prayer all the time. I mean, those kids, if you get sick and you want somebody to pray for you, and you come out here and ain't nobody out of them kids, just have any one of them kids pray for you. I had a little Sarah. She's only about this big. I don't know how old she is.
She's eight.
Huh?
She's eight.
She's eight. There was a lady come up here one day. She said, Pastor, I got a problem with my leg. I think it was her left leg. And she said, it's really bothering me, and said, I thought I'd get you to pray for me while I'm here. Sarah walked up, this 8-year-old girl. I said, Sarah, this lady's got a problem in her left leg, pain, and I said, I don't want to put my hand on her leg since she's a woman, but I said, you're a little lady. Why don't you just reach up and lay your hand on her and say, be healed in the name of Jesus? She said, sure, Papa T, no problem. Put her hand and said, be healed in Jesus' name. And that lady, she stood there for a second. Then she turned around sideways, looked at me, and she said, my God, the pain went away. I said, well, she believes. I mean, that little 8-year-old girl, she believes. Now then, if she believes and it works for her, what would it do if we believed? It worked for us too, won't it, friends? We've seen it work before. We know it works. The thing about it is, why do you think Jesus, whenever I saw Jesus in his own hometown, there he prayed for people and nothing happened. Only a few people got healed, and then those with minor diseases. And it says, so he went and starts teaching them the principles of the kingdom. So what is the principles of the kingdom? That scripture we just read there, Mark or in Matthew, clearly says that if you have faith and doubt not, what can you do? What can you do if you have faith with no doubt? There's no limitation. He didn't give us a limitation, did he, son? So if we have no limitations, if we could speak to a mountain, if you believe, and is Steve, is that what Scripture said?
It says this mountain. He must have been pointing at a mountain.
Do what now?
It says this mountain, but Jesus must have been pointing to a literal mountain.
Yeah, it must have been, yeah. Yeah. So what is... Okay, praise the Lord. We could say to this mountain, that mountain. Well, we could speak to that mountain. So why is it that we don't do that? I'll tell you the way I used to be, and I'm still not 100%. But if I go to do something, work on something or whatever, I go at it with both feet and both hands. You ever done that? You're into it and you're in hours later and it still hadn't come to pass, and maybe your wife comes up and says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm having this problem here. She says, and this is Cheryl. She's so good at this. Have you prayed about it yet? You know the feeling too, right, Mike? Mike's a man just like me. Us men, that's what we are. That's why God gave us a wife. So that the wife can tell us after we've been there working for hours and it ain't working, what are you doing? Well, I'm trying to get this going. Well, is it working? Not yet. I'm having trouble. Well, have you prayed yet? Woman, get out of here. I don't need your help. I can handle this all on my own. And the Lord says, oh, yeah, let's see how good you are on your own. And I mean, Barron, this is the way it works. You know that?
Yes, sir. Yes,
I mean, if you guys that have lived long enough to know that when anytime your wife comes along and starts trying to tell you how to do things, you want to tell her where to go. Get out of here, go back in the kitchen, do something. I don't need your help. But you do need her help. And that's the hardest thing in the world for me to master. I want to do it myself. I don't need no help. And so... You girls know, don't you? You know that's the way us guys are. That you, Cheryl knows that clearly. And so, of course, she'll be a good girl. And if I fuss at her, well, she'll go leave and do something else. And then a little while she'll come back and see if I'm still working on it. Well, did you get it accomplished yet? Yes, I finally did. Well, did you pray about it? Yes, finally. Has it come to this? I'm laughing at Gracie and Mike over there because they had a story just like that. I mean, Gracie did it late at night, and Mike's still working on his car and putting the timing gear or chain or whatever, and he can't get this pin out of it, and he tries everything, and she goes out there and says, what's wrong, honey? And he said, well, I can't get the pin out. She said, have you prayed about it? And he said, honey, you don't need to pray about this. All I got to do is just pull it out. She said, well, it hadn't come out, has it? No, it hasn't, but I'll get it. Go ahead, leave me alone. I got it. It's just take the pen out. Finally, you know, she come back out and said, well, you got it out yet? He says, no, can't pull that pen out. Now, this makes no sense to a mechanic. He knows that pen in that gear is just loose, and it should just slide right out. But he cannot get that thing out under no conditions. Finally, he prayed. He repented of his sin and asked the Lord to help him get that out. And when you ask the Lord to help you get that, how long did it take it to come out, Mike?
It fell out.
It fell out. Isn't that amazing? I just think about Mike and that story that he told about him and Gracie and how sweet that is, because it's the same way with me and Cheryl. Whenever I'm trying to do something and I can't get it done. And why don't we all just get to the point that when we start to do something, why don't we just get to the point and say, Lord, guide our steps today. And everything from the beginning of that day, it goes all the way through, and that prayer covers everything. And if somebody brings in a different kind of car or something, say, Lord, now give me knowledge and wisdom. In fact, his lovely bride could come by and they could lay hands on each other's shoulders and say, now, Master, we're your son and daughter, so we ask you to give us both the knowledge and wisdom to get all these cars fixed in record time with the parts at the right place and everything. And we thank you for helping us today. It's done in Jesus' name. Man, he goes to work, doesn't he, Gracie? And everything works great. And you don't have to have those problems. What's he trying to get us to do? Trust him and spend time with him. That's what he wants. He wants us to spend time with him. Because if you meditate on that scripture about what we should be able to do, technically speaking, there is that's Matthew 8:13. Matthew 8:13. I want us to look at this scripture, and when you talk about what you believe is so important, look at Matthew 8:13, and what does Matthew 8:13 say?
And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee."
Okay, now.
And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour.
And when you read that one scripture, as you have believed, why do you think we don't call on God? We don't believe. We don't believe he's going to do something. We don't believe he's going to talk to us. We don't believe that he's going to heal us. We go to a doctor, and then after we go to the doctor, and the doctor's, in fact, I was talking with a gentleman at the beginning of the service today, and he said one of his relatives came down with lymphoma cancer. She got the feeling bad, and she goes in, and the doctor checks her and says, "You have lymphoma cancer, and you have about 2 months to live. You cannot be cured." He said, "I sent her some CDs. I called her. I told her what I had learned here at this church, and she's a Christian, and all the things." But he said she would not believe, and she says, "But, you know, the doctor said I'm going to be dead in 2 months." So she said, "I will be dead in 2 months." And in 2 months, she was dead. Now, isn't that something? Now, what does the scripture say? As you have believed, that's what's going to happen. So if he could have got through to her and got her to believing that the word really works, and you can get her convinced that the doctor could be wrong, but Jesus can't never be wrong. So then she could have stood and said, "Well, I'm not only not going to die in 2 months, but I'm going to live in 10 more years if that's what I want." Because let's stop and think about that scripture. And 1 Corinthians 3, I think it is, the last two or three verses in 1 Corinthians 3. About the world is ours, life is ours, death is ours, everything is ours. I think it's 1 Corinthians 3, the last. Okay, now let no man glory in who? In man. In other words, the doctor, the mechanic. Don't glory in men. No, you go to the best doctor in the world. Don't glory in what he tells you. Because he said, but what else does it say then?
Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
Now, wait a minute. Stop and think about this. What belongs to us as a church?
All things.
Baron, that's almost a mouthful. But it is in there, isn't it? So what's ours?
All things.
So what does all things leave out? But we don't act like that. We don't live like that. We stand and see the mountain. We stand and see Jesus and Moses on the mountain. And then, yeah, we fall on our knees and cover our eyes up. We are afraid. That scripture clearly said, Kim, what did it say?
Therefore left no man's glory in men for all
okay,
the
honey. Yeah, read it with a mic.
Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours.
And then the next scripture.
Read the next one, yeah.
The next one. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, our life, our death, our things present, our things to come, all are yours.
Wow.
Mine.
What belongs to us, friends?
All things.
We sure don't believe that, do we?
No, we don't. We don't act like it anymore.
We don't act like it. That's right. We don't act like it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's the best one.
Read the last one.
And the next one. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's.
Yeah. And we are Christ?
You are Christ.
You are Christ. In other words, Christ on this earth is living in us. So why can I forgive sin? Who's living in me?
Christ.
Technically, if he's living in me, then that's who I am, right?
That's right.
I am Christ. And that's what he's trying to tell us. Some of your brothers and sisters will slap you sideways if you tell them you're Jesus. You know that?
I hope they don't slap me.
Do you not know that I have the power to forgive sin?
Amen.
You do know that now, don't you? It's written in the book, right, Barry?
John 20:23.
Amen. Just think. It is written in the chat. And you know it's there.
Yeah, I tell people about it. They're shocked.
And so why do we not get anything from God? What did Dave say there a while ago? Because we forget who we are. We forget that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I am Christ on this earth, and you are Christ on this earth. Wow. If we only believe. And let's take that scripture. Let's go to Mark 11:22. Mark 11:22-26. We'll show you this again. Mark 11:22-26. Have faith in God. Let's say, sure, we'll get that. Mark 11:22.
And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God.
Okay, if we have faith in God, we're on the right path, right? Have faith in God. Well, let's see what he says you can do if you have faith in God.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay, so there is an awesome statement. If you have faith in God, I mean, these promises are so far-fetched, you can understand why almost nobody believes them, because they don't even think like God. If you don't think like God, you're going to read over something like that and think, man, I don't know who wrote that, but that guy wrote, that's crazy. Well, that guy happened to be Jesus. He may be crazy, but he wrote it, and so I believe he believes what he knows what he's talking about, don't you? If you have faith and doubt not, if you have faith in God, you can speak to the mountain and command the mountain to move from here to there, and that mountain will obey you. And then he tells you why it will not work. The next two verses. What does the next two verses say?
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Pretty awesome. And then the next verse.
And when ye stand praying, forgive.
Uh-oh. Now, wait a minute.
Forgive.
You don't understand what she did to me. Is that what people say?
That's right.
I could never forgive her. I could never forgive him. You don't know what he did to me. I mean, he really done something. He broke my heart. I will never forgive him. Did any of y'all see that deal on the news the other night about where that doctor that physical doctor that's been messing with all these young girls and sexually, and you know, he's a doctor, and one of the fathers there, he had two daughters involved in that, how he attacked. The guy, did you see that?
Yeah,
he attacked that man, and then of course after the police subdued him and everything, it was a shuffle right there in the courtroom. There was a later another deal, and he said, "I want you all to know I apologize for doing what I did." Now, did you see this too? Didn't see that part. He said, "I want you all to know I apologize to the court and to the man for what I did. I'm sorry." But he said, "I'm a man that believes in the Bible." He said, "I believe in the Bible." And so he said, "I believe with all my heart that there is a heaven and there's a hell." So he said, I'm going to believe that God is going to put this man in the deepest, darkest hell there ever is. And we will never forgive him for what he done.
You'll be there with him.
That what is bad, if that guy comes to his senses and he repents and he gets to go to heaven, then this other guy, because he won't be there. Because it says there that if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, God clearly said, "I will not forgive you." Is that what he said? And if he doesn't forgive you, then that means you can't go to heaven. Because that means you're going to be defiled. Because you can't be cleaned by yourself. You have to be cleansed and cleaned by the blood of Jesus Christ, by faith in what he did. And then you can be set free. And if you get into bitterness and unforgiveness, and there may be a lot of people that have no idea. When I saw that the other night, I thought, "Oh, God, please, Lord." I said, "That man does not know what he's doing. He's upset at that man." But I said, "Lord, I remit his sins, and I ask you to forgive him." And I said, "Lord, I remit all of his sins." Because I know what's going to happen. There's a whole bunch of people going to be sucked right into the pit of hell if nobody forgives their sins. But if I have the power to forgive that guy's sins, Lord, I forgive him. I forgive that man. I don't want that man, because I can understand if I had a couple of daughters and some doctor had been messing with him, I'd be upset with him too. But you got to remember, you can't hold that grudge against him. You got to turn him over to Jesus and let Jesus judge him righteously. He's the only one that can do that. You can't do that. So if you hold that grudge, it's going to take you right straight into the pit of hell. Isn't that sad? I saw all that on the news the other night, and I saw one part of it one night and the next part the next night, where that guy is some kind of upset because that man, that doctor, had been messing with his two daughters. But, you know, the thing about it is you have to forgive. And if you don't forgive, then you're going to be sucked into that thing yourself. And that is the reason. Did you know that that man, if nobody had remitted his sins and he does not know how to do that himself and he holds a constant grudge against that other man, that man will never be able to get a prayer answered on this earth. You can't get a prayer answered when you're holding a grudge. In fact, God, the only kind of thing he does, when you don't forgive somebody, God the Father sends a tormenting spirit to your house. And that tormenting spirit will come to your house and it'll get you or your spouse and your children and your assets and everything you own, and your whole life can go rotten and bad, and everything bad that can go bad would be happening in your life. And you're wondering, why in the world is everything wrong in my house? It's because you had that bitter unforgiveness against another person and you wouldn't forgive. You'll never have a good life. Never have one. And all these mighty promises like that we're talking about here, that says you can do anything, everything. Speak to a mountain. Can you imagine having that kind of faith? Would you love to have the kind of faith where it would be awesome if I could speak to a mountain, but if I just had the kind of faith, if I could get there, for the faith I had, it made no difference what the people had done. what kind of sickness they had. If I laid hands on them and speak and command that sickness to leave, and everybody I prayed for got healed just like that, wouldn't that be awesome? But do you know that's where we're supposed to be living? That's where we're supposed to be living. Just like the night that we prayed for friends. I mean, the next day when he comes to church, Fran, you talk about a happy camper. I mean, he was a happy guy. And you're still happy about that, aren't you, Fran?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But did you know every one of us in this room should be able to do that very thing? Every one of us. We should be able to pray. We should be holding no grudges against nobody. We should be walking in love with everybody. And when we pray, every prayer you pray should get answered. Right, Mike? Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. And if it's not happening, we need to check out our own life and think, Lord, what did I do wrong? Because if it ain't working for me, Dave said there's a problem. Is that what he said a while ago? If you're not getting results, there is a problem. And that problem could be unbelief. It could be that you're not spending enough time with God. But there's something wrong. Something wrong.
You need to read the last.
What, honey?
You need to read the next verse.
Okay, well, read the next verse. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay, number 26.
And then you need to...
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses.
Wow. Yeah, I went down to Fort Worth several years ago. There was a deacon in a Baptist church that he had cancer. And they said he wasn't going to make it, probably. And so somebody asked me to go down there and pray for him. I didn't know the guy, but I knew the other couple. And so I told them, okay, I'd go. So I went down there. When I got down there, I found out the problem was, again, it was the same kind of deal. This man had molested two of these little, this guy had a pair of twins, three-year-old granddaughters. And this guy had sexually molested both of these little girls. And he was so mad. He was a deacon in the Baptist church. And I didn't have quite the knowledge then that I have now, but I went in and told him, I said, sir, somebody's asked me to come down. I said, I'm a deacon in a Baptist church myself. And I said, somebody asked me to come down and pray for you for your healing. He said, okay, I'll let you pray for me. I said, but there's something I've learned. Before I pray for you, I need you to forgive this guy. He said, absolutely not. I will never forgive that man for what he did to my granddaughters. Never. There's nothing you can do. I will never forgive him. I said, sir, but the scripture says you must forgive. It says, you must forgive. He said, I don't care what it says. I'm not forgiving that man. I said, well, okay, it ain't going to do no good for me to pray for you, so I'll just have to say goodbye because I know that God's not going to answer my prayer because he said in his word, you have to repent of that sin. He said, I ain't forgiving him. I said, okay. So I got up and left. As I'm walking down the hallway, the Lord spoke to me. He said, son, didn't I tell you in the word that if he doesn't forgive, I'll not forgive him? I said, well, yes, Lord, that's exactly what you said. He said, well, nothing defiled can come to heaven. And unless I forgive you, you're defiled. So he said, nobody can come to heaven unless they come to me by faith and get washed and cleaned up in the blood. So I said, Lord, you're telling me if this man does not forgive this guy, he can in no wise enter the kingdom of God? He said, that's exactly right. He cannot come in. Is that what the scripture is saying?
Sure.
If you don't confess, if you don't forgive everybody from your heart, God says, I won't forgive you. And if I don't forgive you, you're not clean, right, Mary? We're only clean once we get washed in the blood, right? Wow. So you see, now we're beginning to understand why sometimes it works when we pray for people. When you go to pray for people, to always do a little prayer, Lord, I remit all of my sins, clean myself up. I ask you to wash me in the blood, make me holy. So now then I'm going to take John 15:7 and I'm going to pray for so like that woman you prayed for. And you prayed, it was a woman, right?
It was a girl.
Girl.
To remit the sin.
Yeah. You did all that though, right? And then she got healed the next day, right?
Yeah, I prayed first. She wasn't healed. And I went back when I learned remitting sins and remitted the sin, prayed again, and she was healed.
Amen. Now, there's a perfect example of a young man that didn't do what God told him to do because he didn't remit the sins. But he prayed for the person for healing, but they didn't get healed.
Right.
And so he come back and remitted their sins and prayed again. And that next time they checked them, there was no cancer at all in their body.
The next day.
Next day.
Stage 4.
Stage 4 lymphoma cancer. Well, the very first man that I ever prayed for in 1986 that had terminal cancer was Ed Brock. And that's what the Lord told me to do, to call the men of the church to pray over him. And he would heal him. And so we did all that. But just think of the promises that God put in there for us, that if we will just use those promises, they will work. But you got to be walking in faith, and you got to be walking in love. You got to have no unforgiveness, no bitterness. You got to be walking in love with him and his people. Right? Wow. Isn't God awesome? Wow. What time is it? 4:50? 4:13. Okay. Okay. Well, what we're going to do, I just wanted to go over some of the healing scriptures and things and why we don't get people healed, because I think we need to re-examine these things on a pretty regular basis, because if we don't, we forget. I mean, we really do forget. I'm probably as bad or worse than any of you about doing that. I have to constantly tell myself what the Word says to be able to walk in God's anointing, and still sometimes it don't work. Wow. Okay. Prayer team, y'all stand up. We'll call this a day here. Praise are these are the ones you need to go to, you need to get prayed for. And as soon as we close with a word of prayer, if you need any CDs or DVDs, take all you want. They're free. Take as many as you want. If you want to give a donation to the minister, there's a box over there on the wall. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you this before we quit. There was a gentleman come up yesterday and with his wife, and he said, "Pastor, I have got to ask you to forgive me." And I said, "Well, I just started crying." I said, "Sir, I don't even know what you're talking about." He said, I've thrown away your CDs and DVDs. My wife's brought them home. I've not listened to them. I've thrown them away. I've burned them, thrown them in the trash. I didn't believe in healing." And he said, "Finally, my wife asked me to come today. And I did. And when I got here and saw that all these CDs, DVDs, and I heard you say that you give away 10 to 15,000 a week, free and postpaid," he said, "I had to repent to God, tell him how sorry I was that I've not believed." And he said, "I've got to ask you to forgive me." And I said, "Well, sir, I forgive you." I said, "You didn't know." But he said, "But I'm so sorry." And I said, "Well, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. No problem. It's all over. Don't worry about it. It's a done deal." So anyway, him and his wife walked out, and he come back one more time and said, I just want to tell you how sorry I am. I'm so grateful for what you're doing." In fact, he made a statement. He says, "You know, here you and your wife, y'all could be doing anything on a Saturday afternoon, but you're here doing this and giving it all away for free." He said, "I can't believe that I was upset." So anyway, he was telling us, you know, how much he appreciated that. I told him, "Well, thank you, sir. We appreciate you coming and be a part." So his wife and him come back up, and they walked away, and then they came back up a little bit. And his wife said, as we walked away, my husband told me, said, She wants me to start tithing to this ministry."
Yeah, he wants me to start tithing.
Yeah, and he wanted to start tithing to our ministry. And I thought to myself, wow, just be patient, just love people and walk in like God says, and then let him take care of it. Don't hold no grudges against nobody for nothing. Just walk in love. Because, you know, Cheryl and I love being here. We love all of y'all that come in every Sunday or every Saturday, whatever, that you help us. And we get all these people healed because, let me tell you something, folks, every one of you that's doing something for Jesus, regardless, your reward is going to be in heaven. You know, and you're not going to lose that reward. So don't worry about nothing. Just keep praising the Lord, doing what he says. And like I say, don't worry about nothing. Don't grumble about nothing. Just praise the Lord for everything. He will reward you greatly, I guarantee you. He will bless your socks off. You just can't outgive the King. Okay? So anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for everything you do for all of us. I thank you, Lord, for blessing us. Thank you for healing us. I thank you for teaching us how to walk in divine health. I thank you for everything, Lord. You're a mighty God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Now, bless us as we go this week. Use us all mightily to do great things for your kingdom this week. Let us bring people into the kingdom, get them saved, get them healed, get them delivered. And may you use us. We just give ourselves to you this week and every week to use for your glory. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.